Greetings, this is Pastor Kevin. Today we are at a church full of people, and this is a Christian traditional Easter service, often the most populated service of the year when people come that don't normally come and rejoice that Jesus did not stay in the tomb, but he rose again. And that is what we celebrate. We have a risen Christ indeed. You are listening to the Gospel Trail. Pastor Mickey Olson is presiding the service, and Liz Rahela, the main musician, is on the keyboard and singing along with her choir. And we have a guest musician with an awesome song on guitar, Dale and Friends. So just sit back, listen, and worship a little if you can, but above all, enjoy.
Now that you've all sat down, let's stand up and sing. Christ the Lord is risen today, number 302 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
may be seated and let us join together in our opening prayer. Risen Christ, enter our worship and our hearts this day. As you live and move among us, remind us to proclaim and live the life you offer. Inspire us to walk as children of your resurrection each and every day. Amen. It's hard when you're a newbie here, but I'll get it. I guess we get to sing again. Let's sing Up From the Grave He Arose, number 322. Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, lying one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have hidden him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to your God and my God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Somewhere or other, I heard of a Sunday school teacher who had just finished telling her third graders about how Jesus was crucified and placed in a tomb with a great stone sealing off the only way in or out. Then, wanting to share the excitement of the resurrection and the surprise of Easter morning, she asked, "And what do you think Jesus' first words were when he came bursting out of that tomb alive?" A hand shot up into the air from the rear of the classroom. It belonged to a most excited little girl. Leaping out of her chair, she shouted excitedly, "I know, I know, I know." "Good," said the teacher, "tell us." Extending her arms high in the air, she sang out, "Ta-da!" Mary walks toward the tomb in the dark. Sad, bereft, her dear Savior is dead, the hope of the world is gone, yet she walks toward the tomb. She is determined to do this last loving act for Jesus, to wash his body and anoint with oils his dear skin. And when she arrives at the tomb, it is empty. She doesn't understand what this means, and only on her return to the garden after telling the disciples does she meet Jesus again, alive. And in her joy, she says, "I have seen the Lord." My very first year as a pastor found me excitedly preparing for Lent and Easter. What I wasn't prepared for was my mother suffering a major stroke the fourth week of Lent, and my journey home to say goodbye so we could take her off life support. My family has deep faith, and we were assured that my mother would meet her Savior in the next life when she left this one. As my family sat vigil with her, we wandered in and out of her room. I walked into the family waiting room to get a cup of coffee and saw my brother staring intently out the window. I went to him and put my arm around his shoulders and said, "Those people driving by have no idea what's going on in here, do they? They're just going about their normal day with no thoughts about the dramas, grief, worry, and sadness which are occurring right this very minute in this building." Then I told him that I remembered standing a window just like this, two floors up from there, and looking out the window holding my newborn son, thinking, None of those people were aware of the wonderful miracle that had just occurred in bringing this new life into the world. If we just drive by the passion story, we have no clue about the misery that was occurring in the suffering and death of an innocent man. Nor can we truly appreciate the wonderful miracle that occurred in resurrection. When Jesus died, he took away our sin. And we too can live anew through him each time we enter this story. Easter is about new life. Easter is about joy. God wants us to live as if the resurrection happens every single day. Because it does happen every day. Every day when we show love to family and friends. Every day when we choose to act out love to a stranger. Every day when a person decides they'll not live as an addict any longer. Every day when someone stands up for the oppressed and stands for justice. Every day when we choose life and choose to live it abundantly. This is resurrection and new life. Jesus shows us the way out of the tomb and invites us to live with him in our lives. William Willimon, writing in the Christian Century, speaks of how each Monday he receives an update from an agency in his denomination that informs him of all the terrible things that have happened in the past week. He says they must think those of us in the hinterland don't read newspapers or watch TV, as they feel they must send a weekly catalog of how bad things are in the world. Earthquakes, plagues, murder, starvation and mayhem. The God this church agency believes in is always behaving badly in some part of the world or other, says Willimon. Then he asks if it isn't the business of the church, because those of us with faith have a heightened sensitivity to evil's work in the world and a moral obligation to point to the pain the rest of the world can't see. He says, tongue-in-cheek, that less morally attuned people may stroll past the suffering, but we're Christians. We stop and stare, take up an offering, make an appeal, collect health kits, sign as we do our bit to alleviate some of the misery. And the fact that life may not be rotten in my part of the world only increases my guilt for my occasional lapses into joy. How dare I sing when others suffer? But Willimon goes on to relate all the money raised for Haiti, the work with AIDS, the missions to many and various places to bring food and hope, and how it's just never enough for some folk. And we're chastised for showing joy or any expression of praise in the midst of incredible need. But is this what God wants? If God wanted us to only be mournful and concerned, then why did God create such an amazing planet filled with such beauty and joy and call it good? It's almost as if God wanted us to be happy. Does a God who loves us only want us to be depressed? If the story ended on Good Friday, then that would be the case. But the story goes on, life goes on. Jesus is alive, gives us cause to rejoice, to sing, and to dance. In Haiti, as the sun went down on the most devastating earthquake in a place of great need, people danced in the street and sang hymns to God. Anderson Cooper on CNN was stunned. Maybe the Haitians have it right. Singing through their tears in praise of God, finding joy in the midst of sorrow, finding life in the midst of death, celebrating resurrection even though there is much to do, looking into the windows of the hospital and praying for those suffering while rejoicing in the cures, miracles, and brand new lives happening down the hall. Father Basil Pennington, a Roman Catholic monk, tells of an encounter he had with the teacher of Zen. Pennington was at a retreat. As part of the retreat, each person met privately with the Zen teacher. Pennington says that at this meeting, the Zen teacher sat there before him, smiling from ear to ear and rocking gleefully back and forth. Finally, the teacher said, "I like Christianity, but I would not like Christianity without the resurrection. I want to see your resurrection." Pennington notes that with his directness, the teacher was saying what everyone else implicitly says to Christians. "You're a Christian. You are risen with Christ. Show me what this means for you in your life, and then I will believe." That is how people know if resurrection is true or not. Does it affect how we live? At my mother's funeral, my two brothers and I stepped up to the mic and told stories about my mom. She was a character. And they were all funny. The church was filled with laughter. Afterwards, many friends and family came up to comment on how they had never laughed so much at a funeral. We found joy and sorrow, and I think God was laughing with us. Death and resurrection, tears and laughter, a rejoicing in the promise that death is not the final answer. The world is full of death and death-dealing situations. Open your eyes and you'll see weeping all around. The cross, the symbol we wear around our necks in place above our altars, is a reminder that death does not hold sway. It need not be a burden we carry, but a symbol of hope. A reminder that in spite of, in the midst of, death, there is life and hope and promise and joy. There is dancing and singing and shouting alleluia. Christians are an Easter people. We try to alleviate the suffering in this world, but we also celebrate in the joy of a God who loves us so much that he sent his only son. Christ is here. Hope is alive.
Where he lay, his head.
celebrate communion together this Easter. And in the Methodist Church, communion is an open table, so anyone may come and receive communion. And so we will celebrate together this Resurrection Sunday, this amazing gift of bread and wine. In the Methodist Church, we use juice, and there is some, my brain's gone, what? Gluten-free up by the altar. Sometimes I really get into worship. I forget all what I'm saying. So let us join together in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night when he gathered with his disciples, he gave himself up for us. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry and to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
If you would like to come forward and receive God's blessing, look in your refrigerator or get some juice or maybe even just a cup of water, and hopefully you have some bread in the house or a cracker or something. And those are what we call elements. And at Jesus' Last Supper, he took similar items and served them to his disciples. That was the Last Supper before the crucifixion, where they thought they'd never see Christ again. But as you hear today, we are celebrating Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. And then Jesus said unto them, do this in remembrance of me. Remember this moment. And then he handed them, passed around the bread, and he says, take and eat. This is my body, given for thee. At that time, they had no idea that some of them, it just wasn't clicking that he was giving his body as a sacrifice for our sins. And then he passed around the juice or wine, I believe it was at the time. And he says, take and drink, for this is my blood that was shed for you. In Jesus' name we pray that you receive this blessing. Call upon the Lord, and you will be saved. It is written.
God, we give thanks for this resurrection meal which we have been served today. Let it fill us and give us hope and promise and joy to go out into the world. Just let us be the Easter people you call us to be, and let this meal remind us each and every day. Amen. There are announcements in your bulletin, and you should also know I will be gone next week. It is a trip I arranged before I knew I was coming back to work here, and I'm going to be in Palm Springs. So I'll be sitting by the pool thinking of all you watching the snow melt. You have JoJo Coffin Langfield will be preaching next week, and Pastor Janine Alexander from the Copper Top Church is available for pastoral care needs. So, let us sing again. He lives, let's stand. And if you feel like dancing, it's okay. Jesus is alive. Ta-da!
Thank you.
blessings to you and the church that meets at your house. This is Pastor Kevin, and we'd like to meet with you daily. We have something for you on the Gospel Trail.